Welcome to this podcast episode from the Oxford Dictionary of National Biography. This episode is a life of the racehorse trainer, Sir Henry Cecil. For more on the dictionary's 60,000 biographies, go to oxforddnb.com. Sir Henry Cecil, 1943 to 2013, racehorse trainer, written by Ray Vamplew. Sir Henry Richard Amherst Cecil was born on the 11th of January 1943 in Aberdeen, the third son of the Honourable Henry Kerr Ochmuty Cecil, an officer in the Parachute Regiment, and his wife Rohase Mary. Henry's father was killed in action in North Africa shortly before he was born. After Aberdeen sustained heavy bombing, his mother returned with her four sons to Wickenbrook near Newmarket. 18 months later, she married the famous racehorse trainer, Captain Cecil Boyd Rochefort, and the family moved into his Freemason Lodge training property. Due to his mother's drink problem and his stepfather's age, Henry and his brothers were mostly brought up by a nanny. After a spell with a private governess, Henry and his twin brother David boarded at Sunningdale Preparatory School. Both failed the Eton entrance exam, but their stepfather, known as Uncle Cecil, secured them places at Canford School, where he was a governor. After leaving school, Henry worked at Studs and the Newmarket Research Station and took an estate management course at Cirencester Agricultural College. With no academic ambition and no interest in the army or business, Henry and David were more interested in alcohol, women, and reckless driving. These proclivities were to cost Henry in years to come. In November 1964, Henry became assistant to his stepfather, now aged 77, and David went to work in a bloodstock agency. Uncle Cecil retired in 1969, and Henry took over at Freemason Lodge. Initially, he had the 40 horses from the yard, but the future was up to him. So far, his life had been determined by nepotism and family connections. Now, seemingly, he was on his own. However, 2 years previously, he had married Julia Merlis, daughter of champion trainer Noel Merlis. After a dispiriting start to his training career, he took advice from his father-in-law and began to work his horses harder. Henry Cecil had his first winner with Celestial Cloud at Ripon and ended his first season with 27 winners, placing him eighth in the Trainers' Championship. He then had to find new training premises, as his stepfather sold Freemason Lodge to fund his retirement. He could not afford to buy a stable, and for a while his training was spread across three rented sites. These premises had to accommodate an increased number of horses as owners flocked to the rising star. His first English classic came in 1975, and in 1976 he gained his first trainers' championship. At the end of that season, Cecil's father-in-law retired and offered his yard, Warren Place, at a favourable price. Halcyon years followed, including 9 more championships, and between 1977 and 1989, 12 classic triumphs, leading owner Ahmed Salman to comment that winning classics is easy. You buy a horse and send it to Henry Cecil. In 1985, he became the first trainer to win more than £1 million in a season. Unlike his stepfather, Cecil did not bet and was dependent on the performance of his horses for his income. His formula for success was attention to detail and an affinity with horses, with a knack of assessing and developing their individual qualities. He also had an ability to select outstanding yearlings, which were then sold on at a profit to his owners. He placed great faith in his staff and made a point of listening to them and delegating responsibilities. He was tolerant of their foibles, particularly of a fondness for alcohol, providing that they did their jobs. Nevertheless, despite stating that no one should be victimised after the 1975 Newmarket stable lads strike, he did not re-employ Tom Dickey, the lad who should have been handling his winning horse on the day of the strike. He could be ruthless and change stable jockeys if a better rider was available. In turn, he employed Joe Mercer, Lester Piggott, Pat Eddery, Steve Cawthon and Kieran Fallon, all of whom won a jockey's championship while retained by Cecil. Henry and Julia Cecil had two children, Kate and Noel. At Warren Place, they devoted 10 acres to establishing a garden, which they opened for charity days. They were particularly interested in roses, and the horses were often fed rose hips. They also ran the Clothes Horse, an upmarket boutique in Newmarket, reflecting Cecil's obsession with designer labels. Then, in his late 50s, he followed his stepfather in falling for a younger woman. Natalie Monica Payne was the daughter of an expatriate Nigerian businessman. His marriage to Julia was dissolved in 1990, and he and Natalie married on the 15th of February 1992. Bringing Natalie into his life ultimately damaged Cecil's racing career. Julia left to set up her own establishment, taking with her some of the best staff from Warren Place and several owners who disapproved of Cecil's behaviour. Later, other owners left because they felt Natalie was unduly influencing Cecil's racing decisions. One of these was the leading owner, Sheikh Mohammed Al Maktoum, who removed his 40 horses. Although Cecil's last trainer's title came in 1993, he continued to train classic winners, nine more between 1993 and 2000. However, his second marriage was falling apart, partly owing to his wife's addiction to diet pills and antidepressants. Following her admission to the press that she had had a fling with a married jockey, the marriage formally ended in 2002. Cecil's third marriage was to his secretary from the late 1990s, Jane McKeown, daughter of the jockey and racehorse trainer Charlie Guest. Their relationship became public in 2000 when she drove him back from court after he was banned from driving for 5 years after hitting two pensioners while under the influence of alcohol. He had eschewed heavy drinking since the late 1970s when, in an alcohol-fueled argument, he told one owner to remove his horses. However, after his brother David was diagnosed with cancer and Natalie left taking their son Jake with her, Cecil fell under the darkness of depression and hit the bottle again. Cecil's record tally of 180 winners in 1987 had dwindled to 21 by 2004. In 1995, his yard had 209 horses, the largest in Britain. But within a decade, it had fallen to only 56, and he had to rent boxes out to other trainers. The stable was reliant on the loyalty of Prince Khalid Abdullah, who, when quizzed, commented, "Why take horses away from a genius?" In 2005, Cecil had only 12 successes. Then in 2006, inoperable stomach cancer was diagnosed. Chemotherapy and his difficulty in digesting food reduced him to a gaunt figure, no longer the dandyish personality sporting well-fitting tailored outfits. However, Cecil's luck on the track began to change. In 2007, he won the Oaks, his 24th classic victory. In 2008, he enjoyed another Group 1 win. And in 2009, after a seven-year absence, he once again entered the winner's enclosure at Royal Ascot. Even better fortune was to come in the shape of Prince Abdullah's great horse, Frankel, who remained unbeaten in 14 races over three seasons. This included the 2000 Guineas, Cecil's final classic triumph. As always, other owners wished to share in the glory. And in 2011, Cecil had his best season for 10 years, with 55 winners securing prize money of over £2.7 million and third place in the trainers' table. He was also knighted in that year for his services to racing. On leaving school in 1960, Cecil's report said he had no brains but a single interest in horses. When he died of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma on the 11th of June 2013, he had trained 3,432 winners worldwide. The 2014 Oaks, a classic at which Cecil had enjoyed his greatest success, was run in his memory. Cecil's success and his dedication to horse racing marked him as a brilliant trainer, and his connection with the unbeaten Frankel ensures that he will be remembered as a legend of the sport. Thank you for listening to this life of the racehorse trainer, Sir Henry Cecil, from the Oxford Dictionary of National Biography. To read on, or to listen to further episodes in our biography podcast, go to oxforddnb.com.